The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of Clear Channel Radio, nor should they be regarded as legal or investment advice. Seek qualified counsel before acting on any views expressed in this show.
This is Investor IQ with Glenn Wessel, where you hear straight talk about financial topics that impact you. Got a tax, financial, or investment question? As a CPA and holder of the Certified Financial Planner and Chartered Financial Analyst credentials, Glenn Wessel's the guy to ask. Now, here's Glenn.
And a very good morning to all of you. My name is Glenn Wessel, host of Investor IQ, and welcome aboard this first edition of 2010. I'm here once again this morning with Rob Simon, who's an analyst with us. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
And, of course, Agnes is running the switches and the knobs for us. Good morning, Agnes.
Good morning.
Well, as the year begins, we find ourselves in a similar predicament to how the previous year ended. That is that we've received a number of calls from concerned investors who are not achieving as much income from their portfolios as they need. Anytime we go through a low interest rate cycle, which we've been mired in for a long time now, we get lots of calls and concern from current clients who are worried that they're going to be delving into their principal, don't want to do it to any extent, and would like to know what they can do or what we can do for them to increase the yields on their portfolios. So, Rob, why don't you just take a moment and discuss some of the pitfalls that befall people when they're reaching for yield, some of the things that they might tend to do from time to time that would maybe not be what we would prefer.
Right. They might tend to put all of their investments into one particular sector, such as buying all investment development companies, and that would kind of make them very at risk to particular things that would happen in that sector, or buy all utilities. And then if the regulations change, or if the government enacts new rules about environmental regulations, then the utility stocks might go down and they lose principal instead of, so when they're trying to stretch for the yield, they're actually losing their investment in the principal.
That's right. We've had a number of clients come to us during 2009 where they were variously concentrated in business development companies, venture capital companies that have high payouts, but those payouts are very lumpy because they're based on business deals closing, which may or may not close during a given quarter. We've had people come in with concentrated portfolios in closed-end mutual funds that are invested in not only junk bonds or high yield, low quality bonds, but they're leveraged. We just get the sense that a lot of times people come in with these high yielding portfolios and they fit the classic profile of having stretched for yield. So that's what we'd like to talk to you a little bit about today. We thought we'd just give you an example of someone who might be looking into, let's say, a utility stock. Utilities are historically good places to generate income, and it's a favorite place to have recurring dividends, a recurring dividend stream. Just speaking very honestly, we manage our accounts on a discretionary basis for the most part. That means we're not in a position where we typically have to check with clients before we make trades, because we manage portfolios as fiduciaries. We're not really security salespeople in any way. But nonetheless, we do have conversations from time to time where we get into a dialogue where the client will want us to purchase a particularly high-yielding security, like a utility, whereas our standpoint would be that, well, even if the person needs to possibly delve into his or her principal from time to time, it could be better to do it exactly that way with the hope that the income would be increasing over time. And that's the piece that, in our sense, investors don't have a good grasp of. So what we've done is to compare a couple of utility stocks that one might have purchased, let's say, 10 years ago. That's how we're going to approach this. So I'm going to give you some characteristics for a utility company called United Illuminating Company. And Rob, what's the company that you have?
my company is called Pennsylvania Power and Light.
Okay, so that PP&L, sometimes people call that. So if you were an investor back in 1999 and you were looking for yield, which is a recurring theme, I mean, it's always happening, you would have found that the stock that I'm going to talk about had a nice, juicy yield of around 7.4%. PPL, on the other hand, Rob, was yielding what?
4.9%.
4.9. So there was an immediate attraction, or there would have been an immediate attraction to United Illuminating Company because of the outsized yield. So for argument's sake, let's just assume that an investor had $10,000 to spend on each stock, and you had to choose between one or the other. Well, if you were to buy the United Illuminating Company stock, you would have wound up with some number of shares, which is not really relevant to this discussion, that would have generated in the first year $742 worth of income. How about the income on your stock, Rob?
Right, that would have been $490.
Okay, so my stock, right, my stock is way ahead of your stock, and I'm winning.
Right.
The problem with my stock is that 10 years later, the dividend yield on my, on that security hadn't really changed, or the dividend distribution, I should say. The income that that utility is generating is still $742 per year. They haven't changed, or it hasn't changed its dividend payout at all over that 10-year period. How about your company, Rob?
Where PPL increased their dividend to $1,352 in income.
So it went from $490 to $1,350.
Right.
That was an increase of, do we have it here?
10.6%. A year.
Okay, yeah. On a yearly basis, that means you're getting an income raise of about 10.6 or 10.7% per year, whereas the raise you would have gotten on my stock, United Illuminating Company, comes out to precisely zero. So there's a lesson embedded in here about trying to do the right thing and not being short-sighted. Now, that's not to say that the lower yielding company is always going to be able to surpass the higher yielding company, but there certainly are clues as to which company is which, and that's where we have a hard time making inroads with our clients. So we'll talk about this a little bit more after the break. We're going to take just a break here, but before we take that break, let me just say that if you'd like to bounce some ideas off us about yields and income, just give us a call at 232-2000, and we'll be glad to talk with you right over the phone. You won't even need to come in. We'll try to help you, help point you in the correct direction. So we'll be back in just a moment.